Your Bibles, please, and turn with me to the book of Psalms, Psalm 78. Psalm 78 this morning. I'd like to have you look at verse number 1 through verse number 7, if you would, please. The psalmist writes, "Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them," talking about the stories of old, talking about the Word of God, "we will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He hath done. For He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children." Why? Why would they do that? Verse number 7. It says that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. Let's bow for a word of prayer, please. Father in heaven, Lord, I ask and pray that You'd help us today. Help us, Lord, to glean some things from Your word. I pray, Lord, that You'd equip us for the journey that You've set before us. Lord, I pray if there's anyone here today that's never trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior, I pray, Lord, that they would come to the saving knowledge of Christ before it's eternally too late. Lord, help us to dedicate our lives, Lord, to leave a living legacy behind us. Guide and direct, we ask it in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. I believe that America is in the condition that America is in because Christians have failed to leave the legacy that they need to leave. There was a day and an age when Christians lived a godly life. They communicated biblical truth to their children. And because of that, we had a country that was based upon biblical foundations and biblical ideologies. But no longer do we have a country like that in which we live. We are living in a nation that is void of God and void of the conscience of God. And there's a reason for that. Because Christians of the previous generation has dropped the ball and they failed to communicate. They failed to communicate the Word of God and the works of God to the generation that followed them. God help us as a generation of believers here at Grace Baptist Church that we would fail to communicate the Word of God and the works of God to our children and our grandchildren. I want you to notice what it says in the Word of God. It says in verse 4, "We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works which He hath done." You know, God's done some great things in my life, and God's done some great things in your life. And your children and your grandchildren, and if the Lord tarries, your great-grandchildren should know what has taken place in your life. They should know just exactly how that God has done a great work in your life. Amen? Years ago, there was a woman by the name of Suzanne Wesley. Suzanne Wesley was the 25th child of her mom and dad, the last child. Dr. Samuel Ansley was a dissenter of the church, the established Church of England. At the age of 13, Susanna stopped attending her father's church and joined the official Church of England. She and Samuel Wesley were married on November 11th of 1688. Samuel was 26. And she was 19. Susanna and her husband, Samuel, had 19 children. 9 of her children died as infants. 4 of the children that died were twins. There was another child that a maid accidentally smothered with a cover, a blanket. At her death, only 8 of the 19 children were surviving. We probably remember Suzanne Wesley as the historical term. She was the mother of Methodism. She was the one that gave birth to John Wesley and Charles Wesley. John Wesley was the preacher. Charles Wesley was the hymn writer. The song that we sang, hymn number 24 in your hymn book, "And Can It Be That I Should Gain," was a song that was written by Charles Wesley. Many of the old hymns that we sing was written by John Wesley. We find that Suzanne Wesley went through hard times. If you do if you read any biographical sketches about her, you'll find that she lived in poverty. Her husband was not a very good financial manager. And he was actually put into jail several times because he couldn't pay his bills. She had to survive on her own. Raised the children. She homeschooled all of them. Taught them the Word of God. She prayed with each and every one of them. Tried to instill into them the Word of God and to try to bring them to the point of salvation. You can look back on the life of John Wesley and Charles Wesley and her other children that survived, and you can see great accomplishments. Every small community here in northwestern Ohio, when you go into it, there's a small Methodist church somewhere. The church building that we started in was an old brick Methodist church building. There was a time when the Methodists were just aflame with fire for zeal for God and also holy living. Matter of fact, one of the things that John and Charles Wesley really promoted was the fact of sanctification. Now, I think some of their teachings was not correct, but one of the things that they really promoted was that Christians ought to live a holy and a godly life. You know, Baptists used to believe that too. And I think we've forgotten that as a whole. But we find that she was called the mother of Methodism. Why? Because her two sons, John Wesley and Charles Wesley, as children, consciously or unconsciously, they willed in their life, "I'm going to follow a biblical example in my life that my mother had left me." And because of that, John Wesley and Charles Wesley became circuit-riding preachers after they were converted by some Arabian missionaries. And it's a great story if you ever take time to read it. But they came through the United States, and they would hold open-air meetings. And out of the open-air meetings, they would plant a little church here and a little church here. And every community that they went to, they would plant a small Methodist church. That's why we see these churches all over the place. Because there was a woman by the name of Suzanne Wesley that left a legacy behind. I believe that each and every one of us, as a child of God, if you're saved, you ought to determine in your heart, you're going to make a difference in your children's life and in your grandchildren's life and in the generations to come. We ought to leave a living legacy, a godly legacy for those to follow. Amen? I want you to notice what it says in Psalm 78. First of all, I want to share with you the desire, the legacy that I desire for my life. I was up yesterday and I was finishing setting the small little
rafters or the small little trusses on the pew base, or the pew base, I'm thinking of pews right now, the steeple base up on top. And I was up there nailing them, and there was some cars that went by, and they drove real slow, and they saw this guy standing about 30 foot off the ground thinking, this guy's nuts. But I was up there, and I was hammering those things in, and I could help but think, you know what? This here will be probably here a lot longer than what I'm going to be around. And people are going to drive by for generations until the Lord comes back and see the steeple base. And I thought to myself, we're building a legacy here. You go through Oak Harbor, you talk to the people in town, they'll say, hey, how's the building project going, preacher? Go down to the hardware store. They're constantly asking me, how are things going? How's things going? Do you need anything? Yeah, a few more hands to work. But here we need to understand that we're building a legacy. And there's a legacy that I desire. Notice if you would please in verse number 1-3. It says, give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known and our fathers have made and our fathers have told us. There is one thing about the legacy that I want to leave. I want to make sure that I leave a legacy that's not based upon the works of the flesh. I don't want to leave a legacy that is based upon my own strength and ability. I want to leave a legacy that is based upon the Word of God. Amen? And each and every one of us ought to strive in our lives that I want to build a legacy. I want to leave a lasting legacy. And they can look back and we can say, you know what, Grandpa or Great-Grandpa, they love God. They love the Word of God, and they tried to do something for the cause of Christ. Amen? We need to go ahead and leave a lasting legacy. I was driving through Perrysburg not long ago, and when I got down to the end of the street, there is a statue of Oliver Hazard Perry. And he has left a legacy behind. You go over to South Bass Island and there at Put-in Bay, and you'll find Perry's Monument as dedicated to the war that took place, the Battle of Lake Erie, and the work that he did. You know, Commodore Hazard Perry, I think is what they called him, he left a legacy behind. His legacy was for battling and fighting, commanding ships. I don't want a legacy like that. I want someone to look back on Rick Bicklehop and look back on Pastor Rick and say, you know what? He's a man that lived for God, and he's a man that loved God, and he's a man that knew the Word of God. That's what I want for my life. That's a desire I have for my life. And I hope and pray that you'll have that desire. Verse number 1-3 talks about a legacy that was filled with the Word of God. Look at verse number 4. It says, we will not hide them from their children, showing forth the generation to come the praises of the Lord, His strength, and His wonderful works that He hath done. He says, we will not hide them. And today the world is filled full of Christians that are hiding their Christianity from their children and from their grandchildren. Oh yeah, preacher, I'm saved. I don't think we ought to go ahead and get fanatical about it. There's no sense of trying to tell that to our children. They need to make their own decisions in life. How sad. What hypocrisy. That we will go ahead and receive the grace of God, and we will receive salvation, and we'll let our children die and go to hell because of hypocrisy in our own life. It says we will not hide them from our children, showing. We need to show them our salvation. Not just talk about it, but we need to show them that God has made a difference in my life. Hey, has God made a difference in your life? Has He saved your soul? Has He made you a new creature in Jesus Christ? Then we not only ought to say it, but we ought to live it before them. Amen? I want a legacy that is filled without hypocrisy. And in verse number 4, it also says, showing to the generation to come. There's three things here. Notice what it says. Number one, the praises of the Lord. You know, too many people are filled with complaining and griping and grumbling. I've done my share of that. God forgive me. But our life should not be focused around all the disappointments of life. Our life should be focused around praising God in the good time and in the bad. Whether it's sunshine or rain, we ought to go ahead and focus our praises on the Lord. You know, our children are listening to us. And our grandchildren are listening to us. And if we grumble and gripe and complain about everything that God gives us, what do you think they're going to do? Boy, God sure has been good to them. I don't think I want to serve that God. And that's what they're going to end up saying. The child of God, their life should be filled with the praises of God, that the generation to come might say, you know what? God's been good to them. God's blessed them. I want to serve that God. And if our life has been filled full of complaining and bitterness and griping and grumbling, you know what? The generation to come, they're going to say, I don't want nothing to do with that God. There's a desired legacy. I want a legacy showing forth the praises of the Lord. I want a legacy showing forth the strength of God in our life. Verse number 4 says, the praises of the Lord and His strength. You know, God is strong. He is strong enough to overcome any problem that we have in our life. Amen? There are people that have been faced with addictions, and I'm here to tell you, God is greater than the addictions. Amen? There are people that have been faced with health problems, and God is greater than our health problems. There are people that have been faced with all kinds of other dilemmas that's come into their life, but God is greater than all of those dilemmas that come into our life. And we need to understand that we need to show forth to the generation to come God's strength in our life. And then verse number 4, it says, and His wonderful works that He hath done. Hey, has God done a work in your life? I remember when I was saved, and I remember the things that I was involved in, and God has done a work in my life. I like that song, He's Still Working on Me to Make Me What I Ought to Be. Took Him just a week to make the moon and the stars, the sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. But thank God, He's still working on me. Amen? And the Bible says in Philippians chapter number 1 and verse number 6, being confident of this one thing, that He that hath begun a good work in you shall perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. God is not quitting on you, and God is not quitting on me. And so therefore, I ought to go ahead and show forth to the generation to come the mighty works that God has done in my life. I need to relay those things. This is what God has done for me. This is how God has helped me. This is how God has given me strength. And I ought to go ahead and praise Him in the generation that is following. Verse number 5 through 7, I want you to notice what it says. For He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers that they should make them known. Hey, this is not a suggestion. This is a commandment. Matter of fact, it says in Deuteronomy chapter number 6 and verse number 4, it's the passage of Scripture that is commonly referred to as the Shema, where the Jewish children would memorize this at their bar mitzvah and would go ahead and recite this in Hebrew. And it would say in Deuteronomy chapter number 6 and verse number 6, verse number 4, it says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, He is one Lord. And it says, And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy might. It says, And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Hey, this is not a suggestion, it's a commandment. We are to diligently teach our children the Word of God. And so here we find, there's a legacy that I desire for my life. A legacy to be filled with the Word of God. A legacy to be filled, have no hypocrisy in my life. A legacy to show forth the praises of the Lord and the strength of the Lord in our life. And to show forth the wonderful works that God has done in us and through us. Verse 5 says, we are to make them known to our children. We are to make them known. What have you done to tell your children? What have you done to go ahead and communicate the Word of God and say, hey, this is what God has done for me? You need to make sure you do that. The generation must know. The future generations must know They must know God's strength and God's praises. Look at verse 7. Verse 6, it says, should arise and declare to them to their children. Why? That they might set their hope in God. Without the Lord, there is no hope. He is the one that created heaven and He is the one that created hell. And without Him, Jesus said, we can do nothing. We must have the Lord in our lives. Jesus Christ is our only hope. The generation to come must know who He is. This is a legacy I desire. This is a legacy that I desire for Grace Baptist Church, for my life, for your children and for your grandchildren. That, like the psalmist said, all of these things, we can say that also. Now, verse number 8, all of a sudden it changes. And it begins to talk about an undesirable legacy. And God forbid that we would have an undesirable legacy that we'll leave behind. And by the way, one way or another, you're going to leave a legacy. I hope and pray that it's going to be a good one. Look at verse number 8. It says, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn or rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. The children of Ephraim, you ought to underline that. The children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. Here is a legacy that I desire not. Israel was on a roller coaster ride with its relationship with God. There were good kings, and the good kings would bring Israel into a great relationship. And things prospered. Like, for example, under Solomon, it was the golden age of Israel, and it was just a time of real blessings. Even the Queen of Sheba said that the half has not been told. And then after Solomon had passed away, different kings came along, and some were good and some were bad. And when the good kings were there, they had a real close relationship with God. When the bad kings came along, they had a real poor relationship with God. And God judged them, and many times they allowed them to go into captivity by other countries. Up and down, and up and down relationships. No thank you. I don't want that type of a relationship for myself. It is an undesirable legacy. And if you look at the legacy of the nation of Israel, it's hot and cold and hot and cold and hot and cold. Right with God and then away from God. Serving the Lord and then serving Baal or serving Ashtaroth or the host of heaven. It was an undesirable legacy. And then if you look at Ephraim, Ephraim was equipped. Ephraim had everything it needed to serve God. The book of Hosea talks about Ephraim is turned into idols, let her alone. What an epitome of a poor testimony. It's pretty bad when God says, I can't help him anymore. Just leave them alone. An undesirable legacy. We find in verse number 9, equipped, armed, carrying bows, but no heart. They turned back in the day of battle because they had no heart. And yet today, Christians, they will go ahead and they are armed. They have the Holy Spirit of God living in them. They have been given the opportunity to have the Word of God and the fruit of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit to guide them and to direct them and to help them. They are armed to go ahead and face the battle. And as soon as a little storm arises, they stick their tail between their legs and run. God help us. Equipped, but no heart. Jesus said in Luke chapter number 9, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. If we are going to go ahead and follow the Lord Jesus Christ, if we are going to go ahead and serve God, one of the things I think we need to be faithful. Take the equipment that God has given us and do something with it. Look at verse number 9. It says, the children of Ephraim, being armed, carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. Verse 10, they kept not the covenant of God. They didn't keep God's commandments. And refused to walk in His law. And forgot the works and His wonders that He had showed them. They were forgetful. I think that's where a lot of Christians are at today. Remember when you got saved? I remember when I got saved, I was excited about it. I mean, I told everybody I got saved. I just thought that's what you had to do. When I got saved, I told my friends. I remember inviting them over to the house. I got a whole bunch of my lost friends to come over to the house, and I invited the associate pastor to come over because I knew that he could say some things, maybe win them the Lord. I just thought that's what you're supposed to do. Had some guys come over and had some other people come over to the house. We just sat down to have a cup of coffee, and I just talked to them about the Lord. But you know, a lot of people forget. They forget about the salvation that God has provided for them. The same way Israel forget. They forgot. Look at verse 12. It says, marvelous things did He in the sight of their fathers in the land of Egypt. What did He do in the land of Egypt? Well, number one, all the plagues, the deliverance from Egypt, coming to the Red Sea and parting the Red Sea, walking over on dry ground. Well, you say, well, preacher, you know, it was just really a sea of reeds, and it really wasn't dry ground. It was only about a foot and a half deep. And, you know, he didn't really part it. There was a strong wind, and it kind of blew it back, and they just walked across. It wasn't very deep. That really wasn't a miracle. You know, it just amazes me that 600 chariots and all their horsemen would drown in a foot and a half of water. You know, that just amazes me. No, it was actually a deep sea. It wasn't, the liberals come up with this idea of the Sea of Reeds. God parted the waters. Verse number 13. He divided the sea and caused them to pass through and made the waters to stand as an heap. He guided them. Look at verse 14. In the daytime, He led them with the cloud, and all the night with a light of fire. You see, this is a work of God. They failed to communicate that truth, what God did for them, to the next generation. Verse number 15. He clave the rocks in the wilderness and gave them drink out of the great depths. The Lord told Moses, take your rod and smite this rock. And waters gushed out of the rock and gave them all to drink, and all their cattle, all their livestock. Millions of Jewish people. And all that they had was God watered them. What a miracle. And then they got hungry. Look what it says in verse number 25. Verse 24, and He rained down manna upon them to eat, and had given them the corn of heaven. Man did eat what? Angel's food. They failed to forget, they failed to communicate the truth of what God did for them. He gave them water, He gave them deliverance, He gave them angel's food to eat. Look at verse 19. An undesirable legacy. a roller coaster ride of a relationship with the Lord, a poor testimony in Ephraim. And then verse number 19, yea, they spake against God. They said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? The answer to that is yes. God can do anything. He spoke the worlds into existence. He can go ahead and provide for us. And we find here in this passage of Scripture, it describes an unthankful attitude. Look at verse number 32. For all this they sinned still. For all what? All the miracles that had taken place, how He fed them and how He watered them and how He guided them and how He protected them, how He gave them deliverance, and all of this, they sin still. They are unthankful. Look at verse 41. Yea, they turned back and tempted God. They were backslidden. After all that God had done for them, Israel had turned it back on God. I'm sure it's not like any Christians today, after all that God has done for us, and then Christians walk away from God. Notice what it says. I was reading this the other day, and this really stuck out at me. Yea, they turned back and tempted God, and limited the Holy One of Israel. Isn't God all-powerful? Isn't God sovereign, in control? And yet the Bible says here that because of their disobedience and their rejection of God, it limited the Holy One of Israel. It limited God. Is it possible for us today to limit God? I believe it is. God has got a desired. He's got a desired place, a desired blessing for you. I believe that when we get to heaven, every child of God is going to see what they could have had. They're going to see all the things. Someone once described it as a guy going to heaven, and they were walking down the street and they saw all these things, and then they said, oh, what's all those buildings over there? He says, oh, those are warehouses. He says, warehouses? Oh, he says, yeah, let me show you. And he walked in there, and they opened up the door, and here was all this stuff. And there was names beside of all this stuff. And all of a sudden they were walking along, and there was his name and all this stuff there in this big warehouse in heaven. He says, well, why didn't I get that? He says, well, those are blessings from God. He says, yeah, but why didn't I receive those things? And the angel says, well, that's because you didn't live a life that was blessable. You see, many times what will happen, because we live a wicked, carnal, sinful life as a child of God, we limit God from blessing us the way He has intended to bless us. And God wants to bless us. And God wants to help us. And He wants to guide us. And He wants to direct us. But what happens is we live such a life that's so far away from God that God is limited because He is not going to bless wicked behavior. God wants to bless you, but the question is, are you blessable? Now, there's a legacy that I desire. There's an undesirable legacy that is mentioned. But I want you to notice the God of the legacy. Look at verse 12. I want you to notice some things about the Lord. In verse number 12, the Bible says, marvelous things did He in the sight of their fathers. He's done marvelous things for us. He's provided salvation for us through the blood of Jesus Christ. He gives us the opportunity to be a partaker, a joint heir with Christ. He's given us the Holy Spirit to live in our hearts that He may abide with us forever. One day when this life is over, He's going to take us to a place called heaven. While we were here sojourning in this world, He said He'd never leave us nor forsake us. He's done wonderful things for us. Amen. Hey, has he done some wonderful things for you? Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Look at verse 13. In verse number 13, he divided the sea and caused them to pass through and made the waters to stand on a heap. God has provided deliverance for us. Verse 14 and 15, he guided them with a pillar of fire by night, pillar of cloud by day. He offers guidance. You say, well, where's the pillar of fire and where's the pillar of cloud? Right here in this book. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The entrance of thy law giveth light. God has given us guidance. Verse 24 through 27. He offers provision. He gave them water to drink. He gave them manna from heaven. And when the manna wasn't enough to satisfy them, they said, our soul loathes this light bread. And so God said, okay, fine. I'm going to send you some quail. And an east wind blew. And the Bible records that there was so many quail that came into the camp, it was up to their knees. Everywhere you looked were birds flocking all over the place. They ate so much quail, the Bible says, that the meat stuck between their teeth and the camp did stink because of all the quail that was all over. He offers provision. You know, God provides for us every day. Amen? He provides for us. But look at verse 38 and 39. In verse 38 and 39, this is after all their complaining, after all their rebellion, after all their hard-heartedness, after all the things that they rejected God. It says in verse number 38, but he, being full of compassion, what's that next word?
Forgave.
Forgave their iniquity and destroyed them not. Yea, many a time turned he his anger away and did not stir up all his wrath. For he remembered that they were but flesh. A wind that passeth away and cometh not again. Not again. The God of our legacy, he's forgiving. I don't know where you're at this morning, but I'm telling you this morning, I know where I want to be. I want to be leaving a good legacy behind. I want my grandchildren to say, my granddad was a faithful Christian. I want them to be able to look at me, and I want their children to be able to say, great granddad, he didn't quit. You see, God has given us everything that we need to leave a godly legacy for generations to come. In 2 Peter 1 and verse number 3, it says, according as his divine power hath given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who hath called us to glory and virtue. Just like Israel, just like Ephraim, we have a choice. Am I going to leave a godly legacy behind that my children and my grandchildren can follow? Faithful steps? Or am I going to leave a legacy like Ephraim, like Israel, up and down, close one minute, away from God the next? You can choose to leave behind a godly legacy. God's given you everything to do that. The choice is yours. And the choice is mine. We need to choose wisely. Let's bow our heads, please. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to ask a question this morning. The question is this. How many here with an uplifted hand could say, preacher, I want to leave a godly legacy behind for my children and grandchildren to follow? Can I see your hand this morning? I want to leave a godly legacy. God bless you. God bless you. And put your hands down. I believe really all of us do. Today, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, if you don't know His salvation, there won't be a godly legacy. You need to come to Jesus Christ as your Savior. God loved you so much that He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to be your sacrificial payment. The Bible says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And we've all sinned. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid upon him, our sin bearer, the iniquity of us all. God's Son, Jesus Christ, went to the cross of Calvary, and there he bled and died that we could have life and life more abundantly. And today, if you've never trusted Christ, come to him today and say, Lord, I'm lost. I need you. I need your forgiveness. Come into my heart and save me. And if you will call out to God and ask him to save you, he will. Father in heaven, Lord, we ask and pray that you'd help us. Help us, Lord, to leave a living legacy behind us. I pray, Lord, that you bless in a great way. Have your hand upon each and every one. Save those that are lost. Draw them to you, I pray. I pray, Lord, now that you'd help us to leave the type of legacy, Lord, that you would want us to leave behind. We ask it all in Jesus' name and for his sake.